From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of a message called The Cities of Refuge, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, We Receive as We Give. The text is Matthew 5 and verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It is not meet that the man who will not forgive should be forgiven, nor shall he who will not give to the poor have his own wants relieved. God will measure to us with our own bushels, and those who have been hard masters and hard creditors will find that the Lord will deal hardly with them. He shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. This day let us try to give and to forgive. Let us mind the two bears, bear and forbear. Let us be kind and gentle and tender. Let us not put harsh constructions upon men's conduct, nor drive hard bargains, nor pick foolish quarrels, nor be difficult to please. Surely we wish to be blessed, and we also want to obtain mercy. Let us be merciful, that we may have mercy. Let us fulfill the condition, that we may earn the beatitude. Is it not a pleasant duty to be kind? Is there not much more sweetness in it than in being angry and ungenerous? Why, there is a blessedness in the thing itself. Moreover, the obtaining of mercy is a rich reward. What but sovereign grace could suggest such a promise as this? We are merciful to our fellow mortal in pence, and the Lord forgives us all that debt. these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Joshua chapter 20 presents the account of the establishment of the cities of refuge. In a demonstration of his mercy, the Lord appointed these six towns, three on either side of the Jordan, as places to which those guilty of manslaughter or of accidental killing could flee. But the Lord's justice is immutable. Sin must be punished. For the unrepentant, there will be eternal punishment. But for those who flee to Christ, there will be mercy and pardon. The Lord delights in mercy. and he has provided the Lord Jesus Christ to be the sinner's city of refuge. Another truth found in this chapter is that it is Christ who administers both justice and mercy. Dr. Cairns explains that the term avenger of blood used in this passage is the same word translated as kinsman redeemer elsewhere in Scripture. The hand that was nailed to the cross is the same hand that will cast the ungodly into hell. As the way to the cities of refuge was always kept open and clearly marked, so there is no excuse for sinners not coming to Christ for salvation. As the manslayer needed urgently to flee to the city of refuge, so the sinner must waste no time in coming to the Savior. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, The Cities of Refuge.
We're told, and of course you can see this by looking at a map of Israel, as it was in those days, that at the very most, wherever you were in Israel, a city of refuge was never more than a half day's journey away. We are told that the roads were always kept in good repair and kept open. We are told that the bridges fording the rivers were always kept open. That if there was a fork in the road, there was always a post, a signpost that pointed with the word refuge. And the Jews had two people who were kept on the road at all times to point the way to the one who was fleeing for refuge, and also to deter the avenger of blood, if they met with him, to persuade him to allow judgment to be given in a court of law. And of course, as soon as the fleer would come, he would be safe. What a beautiful picture of the way of salvation. Christ is not far away from any one of us. You don't have to go a half day's journey to receive it. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word of faith that we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is your Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Lord is near, and salvation is at your side. The way to Christ is open. God has removed the obstacles. There are no pitfalls in the road to Calvary. Blessed you should be derailed or taken in a wrong direction. He has the finger posts that are pointing. Refuge. Refuge. There's the way to Christ. And when you come, thank God, there's full security. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. As I was thinking of this morning, I realized this is something that the Old Testament picture can only vaguely present. But I thought, nonetheless, it's a great comfort to the people of God when you've come to Christ. So often people, when they come to Christ, they're still worried. Well, maybe I'll still be lost. Maybe I'll still not make it. Maybe now the devil will feed all those things. When you think of this chapter, you realize the avenger of blood could not in any way touch the person unless it could get him out of the city of refuge. You know, there's the security of the people of God. What hand in the world can take a Christian out of Christ? What power of hell can take a Christian out of Christ? There is nothing known to God, man, or devil that can ever take a Christian out of Christ. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But you know, this is an application to the people of God when they're battling the devil in 100 different guises. If the devil can get you off redemption ground and get you fighting him and battling him on any other ground, he'll defeat you. He can't damn you, but he'll certainly defeat you. But remember, our safety, our security, our peace, our enjoyment are all in our city of refuge. And standing on that ground, we can defy every foe. We can defy every demon. We can laugh in the face of every fiend of hell. And we can say, it is well with my soul. Why, I want us to see that. It's on redemption ground you fight the devil. It's on redemption ground you fight life's battles. It's on redemption ground you do battle with all the things that would seek to bring you into misery and defeat. On redemption ground. This is what we mean by pleading the blood. This is what we mean by taking your stand on the finished work of Christ. This is a picture. You see this man standing in the city of refuge. There could be a million avengers of blood out there. They can't touch him while he's in the city of refuge. And thank God, we are in Christ. And that's the ground to assert our victory and our freedom and our joy. And one final thing. I think we should be careful to note this as we leave, that the cities of refuge not only show us God's justice and mercy and how that Christ administers both of them, they not only show us the simplicity and the urgency of the way of salvation, but can I say that they show the need and the responsibility of sinners. As we close this morning, I want you to try and get the picture in your mind of a man in the days of Joshua who inadvertently slew another. Perhaps they've been out in the field. And the implement that he's been using somehow or other has smitten down his friend. He sees him wallow in his blood. What is he to do? You can feel the horror that grips his heart, the icy fingers of fear. What must he do? He must flee if he would save his life. Can you see pounding out in the road on his way to the city of refuge? Always looking behind, is there pursuit? And then in the distance, he sees the avenger of blood, the whole tribe or family, and there they come. The danger is great. Till he gets to the border of the city of refuge. And like the hart or the deer of whom the psalmist speaks, with heaving sides and aching body, he flings himself in the place of safety. You know, his action is a sermon to sinners. This is what the Bible says when it means when it says, look not behind thee in all the plain. It's what it means when it says, flee from wrath to come. There's no excuse for any one of you not fleeing to Christ. He is for sinners, whether strangers or Israelites, Jew or Gentile, rich or poor. He is for sinners. Wonder why today some of you sit unconcerned about your impending destruction. Just a heartbeat out of hell. And you sit without concern. How long will you waste the opportunity to get into Christ? The gates of the great city of refuge stand open. The Lord Jesus Christ himself stands and he calls you. Come unto me. I will give you rest. He would delight to save you. That's His special mission. But remember, if He doesn't save you, He will judge you. What will it be? The avenger of blood is closer to your heels than you have ever dared to think. The vengeance of God is nearer to your soul than you've ever dared to think. And today, the Savior pleads with you. Enter in and be saved. Linger no longer. Stay out of Christ for not another second. Fling yourself into the arms of His mercy. Call upon Him who died and rose again to save sinners, to give you His salvation. May God bring every last one of you into His city of refuge. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for a great Savior. We thank Thee for a full salvation. We thank Thee for free grace. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt take the things of God's law and God's gospel and apply them to the hearts and souls of men and women and boys and girls in this meeting. Lord, awaken those who are taking their sins so lightly. They are more guilty than the manslayer ever was. They're in greater danger than any of them ever were. Yet they take it so lightly and so thoughtlessly. God, have mercy on such today. Grant that there will not be a lingering in sin any longer. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that Thou wilt bring the lost to Christ. God, save sinners this day. Remember those of Thy people who have lost the joy, lost the victory. They've been battling the flesh and the world and the devil, but not on redemption ground. Lord, get them back to Calvary. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt restore their souls today. Hear our prayer. Give fruit for the simple proclamation of Thy word. And bring honor and glory to Thine own thrice holy name. Now, Lord, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, will be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought people, both this Sabbath day and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.